This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We have three special guests today. They're sisters, Danielle Esty and Alana Haim. Together, they form the band Haim. Every time I think that I've been taking the steps, you end up mad at me for making a mess. I can't understand, but you don't understand me, baby. Every day Danielle Esty, Alana, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hi.
Hi.
We're so stoked to be here.
I'm so happy it worked out.
Yeah.
Esty, I know that obviously you are in a family band, but all of you got your start in a family band with your parents before you were Haim.
Yes.
You were rockin' Haim.
Yeah, rockin' Haim, no G. Yeah.
So, and you were all very little. Like, did your parents, was this your parents' idea? Or did they sit you down and go, here's what's happening. We're starting a band.
Kind of. I think, our parents had played music with us. Like, aside from having a band, just when we were growing up, our dad taught us how to play drums from the time we could, like, hold our head up.
Yeah.
And we could hold drumsticks, you know. And obviously, as a little kid, like, playing drums is, like, maybe the most fun thing you could possibly do.
Yeah.
So, and then our mom taught us how to play guitar, again, when our fingers could push on the strings hard enough. We were really lucky. We have really, really awesome, creative, hippy-dippy parents that just wanted us to be creative all the time. Our mom was an art teacher. You know, our dad was a musician like his whole life. And then one day, it kind of reminds me of like that scene in Selena where Selena's dad just comes home with like a bunch of used instruments and is just like, we're going to have a band together. And that's literally what happened to us. My dad went to a yard sale in Barstow, which is like 100 miles away from the valley where we grew up. And he drove because there were some really cheap instruments that he wanted to buy. And he came home one day and was like, Danielle, like he says that he like got the instruments because they were light. Like that's how he could tell if they were good or not. Was like, yeah, I was like, oh, this one feels like a 10-year-old could hold this, you know?
We also were not good. Like
we were okay.
We were not good. Esty's being nice. Like we were really not
we were
good.
Okay.
We sucked.
Rockin' Haim started when I was 4, so I could only really pick up drumsticks at that point. And for me, I feel like looking back, I thought, wow, we were so amazing. I have like this very like rose-colored glasses kind of vision about Rockin' Haim, like how we were like the best band of all time. And my parents sent us some old videos of like,
from, like
our gigs at like a charity event. And we were awful. Like, everyone in the audience like deserves a medal for like supporting us during that time because we were, I mean, it was bad.
Are you telling me when you were 4 years old, you were not in the greatest band of all time?
I was not in the greatest band. In my mind, I was playing MSG.
So what happened? Obviously now you are a sister band. So what was the day when you had to say to your parents, you know,
there was never a day where we all three like met in my childhood bedroom and we were like, you guys, it's time.
Right.
Like we got to cut mom and dad out of the band.
I was nearing the end of high school and I had this inclination to want to stay in LA and just try and play music. And so I think at that point, I kind of wrote my sisters and I was like, you know what? We should really start a band and start actually writing music. With our parents, we never wrote. My parents were not songwriters. They never wrote music. So we were just playing covers of songs that they grew up on and songs that they loved. So they didn't know how to write songs. They just encouraged us to. And we just decided, let's try to gig around town and see what happens. And we did that for 5 years until we got signed.
And when you're starting to learn how to write music, Alana, I think that I read that you would transcribe classic rock songs and disco hits that your parents
listened to. It was like,
to.
I mean, this was before iTunes and Spotify and Apple Music. And we just had the radio.
Or YouTube.
So.
And I don't even think we really understood how to read tabs. Like, I feel like
we couldn't read tabs.
We didn't really
we
know
couldn't
like,
do
what
anything.
Tabs were. So we would just tape songs off of K-Earth 101, which was the kind of, you know, oldie station in L.A. And then we would just literally try to figure them out on guitar and then also try to transcribe the lyrics. So we would sing, like, totally wrong lyrics to these kind of old old songs.
But it was a super important process for us, though, because that's really how we learned how to write songs. We had to listen. And once you transcribe a couple of songs, you realize there's A, B.
There's a blueprint. Like,
there's a blueprint on how to write songs. And it was a super important process.
And your first gig ever as a family band was at Cantor's Deli, which is a famous deli in Los Angeles. Now, was that the kind of thing, like, you knew them? Did you know the people at the deli? Did you guys go there?
We went there, as a family. Yeah. We had heard that there was this music scene that was happening at Cantor's, and I think my dad had heard about it. And I think he went to the owners and was like, I have a band. I don't think he told them that it was a band with his children. I think he just said, I have this band, like, would be great. It was like, they gave us like the slowest night at the Kibitz Room. And there was like two people in the audience. And I think like two of my parents' friends.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. And that was our first gig. And we had deli food after. We like all had matzo ball soup after. It was cool.
I want to play a song off your new album, Women in Music Part 3. This is called The Man from the Magazine.
Man from the magazine, what did you say? Do you make the same faces in bed? Hey man, what kind of question is that? What did you really want me to say back? What's going on behind those dark glasses? Is this what you think?
And in the next verse, you sing about going to a guitar store and the man working there is not taking you seriously as a musician.
Yeah, I mean, those were just two experiences that we kind of dealt with. Or, I mean, you know, Esty.
Of the million that we've experienced.
I mean, we would get asked, like, every interview. Well, first of all, asked, like, what's it like to be a woman in music? And then the next thing would be like, well, do you want to share some of your experiences? So, you know, after a while, we were just like, you know what, why don't we put it in a song so everyone can just hear, like, just the tip of the iceberg. But, yeah, I mean, the first verse is speaking to experience that we had when we were first kind of starting out, in an interview question that we got about the faces Esty makes on stage and if she makes those same faces in bed. And that, you know, I don't, again, Esty, maybe you want to speak about the experience, but we were all just kind of stunned and didn't know what to do and felt super uncomfortable, but also didn't want to make it awkward. And looking back, you know, we should have been like, excuse, like, what? Like no, next question. I think we just didn't know how to.
Or we should have just left the interview. Yeah. And, you know, the beauty, though, is that, like, that happened and it will never happen again. And, you know, I've since then gotten some pretty outrageous, weird questions as well. But now I know how to answer. And I also have Danielle and Alana to step in and also be like, next question.
Yeah,
this is where we stop the interview and this is where we move on. So and it happened exactly. Not but like a month ago when we were doing promo for the record, and someone, a male rock journalist, asked me who played that funky bass line on 3 AM.
The assumption, of course, is
that we don't play our instruments.
Don't play our instruments.
No, who writes your songs and plays your instruments?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, I'm going to try to make it as clear as possible. I played bass on that song and every song on the record and every song on the record before that and the record before that. And I play everything live. And that also goes back to, like, the second verse in Man from the Magazine. You know, Danielle sings about, hey, girl, why don't you play a few bars? You know, show me that you deserve to go up the level to the vintage guitar section at a music shop conglomerate that shall not be named.
Right.
Everything from that, from like, so your boyfriend likes Fenders?
The list goes on and on.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. The amount of times I've been on a show as a stand-up and I've walked in, I've been basically assumed that I'm either there because my boyfriend is performing or, you know, that I'm applying to be waitstaff.
Ugh, unbelievable.
So obviously, you know, you were going to tour and you decided that you wanted to do it in delis.
Yeah, we had this crazy idea where we're like, why don't we, like, we want to play, but we don't really want to play in venues. Like, we want to do something, like, cool and, like, be closer to our fans. And I forget which one of us had the idea, but we were like, oh, maybe we should play in delis. And I literally went on Instagram, the power of social media, and I put up a video saying, like, hey, are there any deli owners that follow us? Looking for deli owners.
Yeah.
And So many people were confused. So I got so many messages from people being like, are you guys like trying to start a deli? Like, is like music really not working for you guys? Like, you need to like start a deli now? Like, and I was like, no, we don't want to start a deli. Like, we just want to play in your deli. And we lined up so many amazing delis, and we wanted to go and do some in the UK, and we wanted to go do some in Australia. Wow. And then, of course, after the second deli stop, COVID hit, and we had to go home. But it was so fun playing those first two shows. It was really, it was the coolest thing ever, like to see all of our fans like eating a pastrami Reuben while we play like The Wire was like the best thing I've ever seen ever. I like actually felt like I was at like a family function. Like, it felt like a family birthday, because that's how we celebrate our family birthdays, yeah. Is getting that big platter of deli meat and cheese.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And yeah, I can't wait. I mean, the deli tour is not dead. The deli tour will commence.
So we have a great game.
Yay. For you. I'm so excited. I'm so ready.
So clearly you're all skilled musicians. You all play the drums, because you were talking about that was the first instrument thrown into your hands at the age of 4 or so, sitting on your dad's lap with the kit set up in your family living room. Do you individually have drum kits in your...
Danielle has a drum kit. You have a drum kit in the studio.
Yeah, a drum right there. Look at that.
Nice. Esty just pulled one into the frame. Amazing.
My snare drum.
Okay. So for your Ask Me Another challenge, we'll play you a clip of the drums from a very famous song. You just need to tell us the name of the song or the artist who performed it.
Yay. I'm so excited. I'm so ready.
All right, Alana, this one is for you.
Oh.
Lance, you know this.
I thought I'm waiting for it to end. No, I know it. Esty, the listeners are also playing, okay? The listeners are playing as well. You have to give them time.
Okay.
Alana, what do you think the answer is?
It's the Beatles.
That's right. The song?
Oh my gosh, the song Shoot Me.
Lance, you know it.
I know. You guys, I haven't had my coffee yet.
No, I know it. It's a lot. We're putting you on the spot.
She's singing through. All right, she's got to sing through the chorus.
Okay, sing through it.
Come together, duh.
That's right.
God, Alana.
I just had to go through the whole song. You guys, give me a break. I'm bad at this. I'm bad under pressure.
Okay, all right.
All right, Esty, here is one for you.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Talking Heads.
Yes, do you know the song?
Letting the days go by, let the water hold me down. Once in a lifetime.
Yeah, that's right.
That's also one of the greatest bass lines ever.
Boom. In that song?
It's like two notes, but it's amazing.
Yep. Boom, yep. Boom. It's so funky. But you know what? Because in bass playing, we always say it's not the notes you play. It's the notes you don't play.
Yes.
100%.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That bass line's like maybe one of my favorite bass lines.
Yeah. She's such a queen. Honestly. I bow at the temple of Tina Weymouth.
All right, Danielle, this one's for you.
Here we go. Rhiannon. Fleetwood Mac.
Yes, and yes.
Yay!
I know you're a big Stevie Nicks fan.
Yes.
And I read that you have connected with Stevie Nicks.
Yes.
We're three very lucky young ladies to say that we have hung out with Stevie Nicks.
What did you guys talk about?
Honestly, we talked about everything. I mean, we didn't really do much of the talking. I think I was like, I'm still so starstruck when I'm around Stevie. But she really is an open book, and we just wanted to hear all of her stories and how she writes songs and how she records songs and what inspires her. I mean, it was mostly just us asking questions and then just having like heart eyes in our eyes, just like watching her and like listening to her. But she's the best.
All right, we are going to turn up the difficulty a little bit so you can work together on these.
All right? Okay, great. We can all work together.
All right.
It's weird because
is it woohoo? Is it Blur?
That is a fine guess. That's not what it is.
Is it?
It sounds like
in a laundry, you pay the bills.
Oh, where have all the cowboys gone?
Yes, where have all the cowboys gone?
No. That is correct.
Paul and Cole.
Exactly right.
Paul and Cole.
Good job.
Wow, that's impressive that you pulled it because that is kind of a generic drum track we're hearing there. So
it is.
Yeah.
But you've played this.
We did play
yes,
it.
Yes, we did. We did.
Oh my gosh. See, I'm back.
I think that's not.
I'm back, guys.
Is that Matt Chamberlain on drums?
That's Jay Belrose.
Oh, Jay Belrose. Okay. Oh, my God. Legend.
Legend.
So this one is a classic. And again, work together and see if you can figure this one out.
Okay. Got it. It's Superstition.
Yeah.
By Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder, that's right. Correct.
He is one of my favorite drummers, too.
Oh, yeah. He's a great man.
Amazing.
His feel is fantastic.
And harmonica, right? And piano
and bass. And bass.
And bass?
He plays everything.
It's doorbell, no?
Yes, it is.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was obviously Meg White is the drummer.
Yeah, what a great drummer, too.
She's such a good drummer.
Well done. Well done. And thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Alana. Thank you, SD.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thank
you guys for having us.
Anytime you want us on another game show, we're in.
That's the band Haim, and this is The Steps from their latest album, Women in Music, Part 3. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles written by Andrew Kane, Carol Lee, Kara Weinberger, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Emily Winter. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, and Romel Wood. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our bosses' bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grundman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm Her Ripe Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.